Bro, you hit like a whip.
I hit like a whip. You're on defense and you hit like a whip, Minka.
Do you even lift, bro?
You want to fight, man?
Let's go!
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Or are you Chase Claypool?
Right now, I'm Cody. Okay. We did just hear live from the field the interaction that was held the other day between Minka Fitzpatrick and Chase Claypool.
More on that later.
Yeah, more on that later, for sure. No, I'm great. I'm doing well. Work was fun today. Just sitting on that truck all day, hopping off every now and then.
Yeah, man. Throw some rugs around.
Yeah. It's weird. I'm working with James again. I worked with James originally at Best Buy. Now we work on the podcast together. Now we're working together for our day job. So it's been fun. How are you, James?
Good, man. They tell you next Friday we're actually working on the same truck?
No, next Friday?
Yeah.
Ooh, you're coming to my route?
Yeah.
Because you only know Friday for my route, huh?
Nah, I really don't know it at all. We're just going to wing it, bro.
Whatever, we'll make it work.
We'll make it work for sure.
We will 100% make it work. Yeah, so...
Speaking of people that make it work.
Yeah, tell me.
Let's talk about some new followers on Twitter and on Podbean, and even a shout-out from a loyal listener.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go Twitter. Twitter first.
Mr. Hunter Holmestek and Mr. Hammer and Hank both checked in this week and followed us on Twitter.
And Hammer and Hank is a massive lover of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
The Pirates, yeah. Big-time Pirate. I feel like maybe he might even be a commentator for the Pirates.
Could be.
But I don't follow the Pirates, so it's tough for me to say. Sorry, Hank.
I don't follow the Pirates, but I'll tell you what. I really enjoy going to those games just for the simple fact that nothing quite hits like, well, let me clarify. There's a different kind of hit. I love a beer. I love an ice-cold beer at a Steelers game. But it's just, there's something different about an ice-cold beer at a Pirates game. When you can see the city in the background just sitting there all beautiful. Like, what you doing? I don't know. It's just something.
You ever do that all-you-can-eat section they got?
I didn't know they had an all-you-can-eat section.
There's like a buffet-style section.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is. I went with Manny and Teezy. I'm telling you. We went. It was part of Manny's bachelor party. And we got these, like, all-you-can-eat seats, and you could have, like, as many burgers.
Does the Steelers have
that? I don't think so. It's just the Pirates.
Do we need to go to a Pirates game now?
It was only, like, $30, too.
Oh, my gosh, we're going to a Pirates game.
You still have to pay for, like, your beer or whatever.
I don't care.
But, like, yeah.
I don't care.
It was, like, pretzels were free, hot dogs were free. Like, it was included in your price.
Listen, can we... I'm going to throw up a little bit when I talk about this. Can we talk about somebody, I don't know who it was, tweeted or said something the other day. I don't know. I can't remember who it was, but apparently every hot dog you eat is 30 seconds off of your life.
Oh, I'm in trouble, brother.
Same. I might die tomorrow, bro. Like, what the heck?
I just had a hot dog like an hour ago.
No, you didn't.
Oh, it was a turkey dog. Is that like only 10 seconds off?
Ew. Okay, moving on. I can't think about turkey and dog together. Sorry. Anyways, new followers on Podbean.
Podbean, Annette Royal. Appreciate the follow, Annette.
Appreciate the follow.
Also, a shout out to Mr. Joshua Perry. Josh, two of his older brothers, we worked with him at Best Buy for a number of years.
That we did.
Became good friends with him. Josh reached out to us on Facebook and said, "Hey, James, just letting you know I really enjoy the podcast. Keep it coming." I told him I appreciate it. And he said, "It really gets me into the season and ready for it with all the information." So,
we're right there with you. We're ready for it.
Josh, really appreciate that, my friend. And feel free, if you are enjoying it as much as you say, to do a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That'll get you another shout out after we see that sucker posted.
After we see that 5-star
You can even
review.
Do reviews on Facebook for our Facebook page.
You can,
page.
Yeah. Facebook.
There's all kinds of places you can do them.
Yeah. You can follow us on TikTok.
Yeah.
We talk about Twitter all the time. You can follow us on Instagram. We don't post there as much as we would like, but we're going to get back into it.
Feel free to click that share button on the podcast episodes, too. That always helps.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
But again, we can't thank you guys enough for, you know, following, listening, subscribing. We really, really, really enjoy whenever we get feedback from you guys. So please message us. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you want to hear anything else. Message us with questions. I would love to be able to hop on the show and answer questions that you guys have from the audience about whether or not we think someone will have a good year, or how we think about a certain player on the team, or, you know, even deeper questions. What kind of formations you think we should run and utilize the most this year? Like, ask us literally anything. We just like the interaction. Jumbo? Will we see Jumbo?
With Henry Mondo at fullback. You never know. There's very important questions that need to be asked. Better. Yeah, man.
But again, moving on to Steelers news now.
Yep. Now we're talking before the fourth preseason game on this news. So the Steelers had to cut from 85 down to 80 players. First move was Antoine Brooks Jr., unfortunately, unable to recover from that leg injury, was placed on the injured reserve. They technically had to waive him with an injured designation.
Yeah.
He cleared the waiver wire. They placed him on the injured reserve since then. Also that day, linebacker Calvin Bundage, offensive lineman Aviante Collins, running back Fast Petey Guerrero, and wide receiver Tyler Simmons were all released to bring us down to the 80-man roster.
Yeah. So that got us down to 80, and then to start the fourth preseason game for us, again, most teams had only three. Us and the Cowboys had four with the Hall of Fame game. Dwayne Haskins got the start.
Yeah, and Trey Norwood, we learned prior to the game, was going to get a lot of chance to play in the slot on defense, so not as much at free safety, which he had been all the rest of the year. Also got the news that T.J. Watt hit top 10 in the NFL's top 100 at number 9.
Still think it's wrong. I think he's top 5, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, honestly, I saw 9 and I said, you know what? I just wanted to see him in the top 10. I didn't want to see him get disrespected and be in like the 20s or something. I feel like top 10, when you're starting to incorporate like best wide receivers, best running backs, best everything at every position,
then
you're probably going to be able to find a few more guys over top of them, and I get it.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I don't know. I feel some type of way about it, but that's beside the point. Moving on to the game recap. Let's start off with the quarterback position like we always do.
Yes.
Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, poor guy struggled, man.
He did.
I'm glad for his sake that he got the opportunity to come back in the game late when the game was almost over.
Yeah.
Because if the only tape he had out there was what he put on in the first three quarters.
It wasn't good.
Man, he might have lost his job to Josh Dobbs if that was the only tape he put out that day.
Well, let's be real. He probably potentially could have lost his job to Josh Dobbs if Josh Dobbs wasn't hurt. I think that's realistic. I'm the Dwayne Haskins fan, and I think that's realistic.
Are. Yeah.
So, again, not a good performance by Dwayne Haskins.
You know, the biggest thing that I thought is that he was just late throwing the ball a lot of times.
You'd see a late wide decision-making.
Correct, yeah. A receiver would be open, and he wouldn't identify it fast enough to throw it in front of him. By the time he made the decision and threw the ball, the defender would catch up because the receiver ran out of room.
Yep.
He started getting too close to the sideline, or he started getting too close to the next defender in the zone, whatever it may be, and a lot of balls were late and behind because of it. And, you know, a few more examples of him on third and long, throwing the ball short, dump off passes, that sort of thing. Which near the end of the game on that final drive, I think he was 5 of 5 with a touchdown pass. And he had two real nice ones, the Ray McLeod, who Ray really bailed him out on that
drive. But it does suck because I know this. I know that Dwayne Haskins is better than what we saw. I know that.
Yeah, his top potential absolutely is.
But I think the nerves got to him that game, and I think the more we let him, I think it's the lights, not like prime time specifically, but the lights of being on the field in the game get to him a little bit, and he needs to get to the point where it doesn't take him three quarters to warm up. It takes him one drive, you know, or one play or, you know, three downs, whatever. But I genuinely think that's really what got, like, he got nervous because it was going to be his first start with the new team that gave him a chance, and I think the nerves got the best of him. That's my honest opinion.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. The kid's got an incredibly strong arm. As long as he's got the head for the game, he ought to be able to do it. But, just unfortunately, not the best preseason for him. He had a good week 3,
mm-hmm.
But struggled in the other games. and didn't show enough to become the number two quarterback, and definitely didn't show enough for Pittsburgh to think that he would be the quarterback of the future as of right now. I think they'll probably bring him back again next year. He'll get a chance to attempt to prove himself again next preseason.
Oh, yeah.
But when you look at it right now, you have to say, unfortunately for him, the preseason didn't fare as well in games as it did in practices, from what we were told in practices anyway.
Yeah, from what we were told and even what we saw. We even saw him play better than that in practice.
And it's crazy that his deep ball in practice is like the best one on the team.
Yep.
But when you turn it into a game, it's the worst one on
it's,
the team.
I think it's the nerves. I think he just gets nuts. Insanely nervous. And he, I think every throw he's second guessing. I genuinely believe that is Dwayne Haskins' biggest downfall, is that he second guesses himself as a person and his capabilities of, I should say as a player, and his capabilities on the field.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think you're right. It's a confidence thing.
Yep. And then we saw Josh Dobbs come into the game.
Yeah. You know,
he had run really good. He had a really good run.
Yeah. Josh did decent. He represented himself well. He moved the team down the field for their very first field goal and very first
point,
score
yeah.
of the entire game. And I loved his scramble where he split some defenders short of the first down marker where the collision happened. And then he got
through.
Like 4 or 5 more yards after that collision.
And that was on third down.
Yeah, and he got 12 yards on it. It was like 3rd and 8 or something. So, you know, Josh just kind of showing that he's much more than just a quarterback, as athletic as he is. We'll talk more about Josh Dobbs after
the game
this,
recap.
When we get into the final 53-man roster and how this played out for him. But, yeah, I mean, Josh had some strong points during the preseason, and he had some
not so
average.
Strong points. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's average is a great way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, he only threw one interception. And,
yeah.
And it, I felt like he was able to move the offense down the field fairly well for the most part, and never got to play with second or third string. He was always playing with back of the roster guys.
Yep.
And with the amount of offensive linemen the Steelers kept, that tells you something.
You're not wrong. Running backs, we saw Benny Snell for the first time.
Yeah, and Benny had the longest run by any running back of the Pittsburgh Steelers the entire preseason in this game.
That's impressive.
17 yards. Rest of the game didn't have a whole lot of holes, but I thought he ran hard. And on that 17-yard run, you know what? He looked a little bit explosive. That was always the question, is does he have the explosiveness? Can he hit the home runs? Can he get you the long runs? Well, in comparison to 3 guys that are probably more athletic than him, when you're talking with Anthony McFarland Jr., Kalen Ballage, and then Harris as well, all 3 are probably more athletic, faster guys. And he had the longest run of all of them and only did it in 1 game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to give him credit to a degree. You know, you can't really hold it against him that the holes weren't there to the degree that they were for other guys. Chase Claypool, nice end around, huh?
It worked.
Yeah, it did.
If
James Washington held this block, then it would have been a really big play. But 11 yards on an end around, you take that every day.
Well, I mean, not every day. I don't think we play on Wednesdays or Tuesdays.
Of course, there he goes again.
But no, I mean, a rush for 11 yards, even once a game by Claypool on an end around is great.
Yeah, you know, it's going to neutralize those linebackers that are trying to cheat when you got a guard going in motion or something. It'll force people on the backside of a play to stay home and not pursue down the line of scrimmage behind the running back, too.
Yeah.
So that helps giving a running back the ability to cut back through lanes if he sees one. If you're running to the right and you see a cutback opportunity between a couple blockers, you can do it because you don't have that weak side linebacker hot on your tail.
Yeah.
So the running the counters and the jet sweeps and that kind of thing with your wide receivers keeps those backside defenders honest, which is very important. And it's a base fundamental thing of Matt Canada's offense. We're going to see a ton of motion and a ton of that sort of thing. And it, even if it doesn't work and you're not getting big plays out of your wide receivers when the ball is given to them, it's more about keeping that backside defender from pursuing.
And it's all, even more than that, I think it's you use the end around to create mismatches and play fakes
yeah.
for down the road or next game or, you know, next drive, whatever. That way, when you put that player in motion, people have to commit one or the other, and if they commit wrong, you have a mismatch or you have an opening that you just got to take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you get to throw fakes off of it and misdirection off of it, and there's going to be a lot that comes off of these kind of moves, these kind of plays. Tony Brooks James had one carry, 6 yards, and do you remember how that play ended?
Yeah, a fumble.
Yeah. Well, no surprise if he gets cut, huh? Mm-hmm. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Slight foreshadowing.
You can't do that, man. There are two things Mike Tomlin doesn't put up with. One is fumbling the ball as a running back. The other is muffing a punt as a return man.
Also foreshadowing.
Also a little foreshadowing.
Yeah. Ray McLeod, 1 run, 5 yards. Good job.
There you go. Same idea. Yep. Turned around.
Same thing. Moving on to receiving, Ray led the team in receptions with only 4. 61 yards, however. 28 was his long and had that obvious, the one touchdown, solo touchdown of the game.
Yeah, and I would say his biggest output was on that final drive where he kind of saved Haskins behind with some nice yak yardage there.
Yep.
So at least he got an opportunity to play through most of the game. There was a lot of speculation as to whether or not he was really concreted into that fifth wide receiver job. I think he helped himself a little bit. Early on in the game, not as much.
No.
Later in the game, when it mattered and you're trying to actually make something happen, it's important to see that he's got that clutch gene, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Even if it's not like the game's out of hand, you got to still treat it as if it's not. So that's
100%, good. 100%. Yeah. Chase Claypool had a catch for 18 yards. Anthony Johnson catch for 12 yards.
And the Chase catch, honestly, it's just good to see that he was healthy enough to go because he wasn't able to go in that third preseason game. 100%. So this kind of clears your mind of any issues as far as him playing in the first regular season game. He's good to go.
As long as he didn't get beat up too hard by Minka.
We'll
talk about that later. But again, the ball got around pretty well. Jalen Samuels, 2 catches, 20 yards. Baugh had 2 catches, 11 yards. Matthew Sexton, 2 catches, 10 yards. Cody White, 2 catches for 7 yards. And then Benny Snell, that 1 for 4. The ball got around to some players. It's just their low numbers for the simple fact that we didn't have the ball most of that game.
Yeah, there were only like 2 first downs until the third quarter.
Yeah.
So if you're not converting any first downs, then nobody's catching the ball. So that's just the way that works, unfortunately. Offensive line-wise, I thought our starting tackles in this game struggled. Zach Banner did not play in the game.
Nope.
So that was, I think, just a preventive measure, or we're assuming it was.
Yeah, safety caution. He just had the injury last year. You don't want him getting hurt again.
Yeah, and Dan Moore Jr. looked uncomfortable at right tackle. He did a lot better in the third game than the fourth. He stated after the third game he wasn't 100% comfortable on the right side. Unfortunately, he looked it in this game. But also, you have to look at the competition. They were going up against Brian Burns, who is a former first-round pick at defensive end, and also Etor Gross-Matos, formerly of the Penn State Nittany Lions.
We are?
Yeah, Penn State.
Okay.
A second-round defensive end.
Yeah.
So you're talking some top-tier pass rushers they were going against, and they gave them some fits from time to time.
Here's the thing. My buddy's a big Panthers fan.
Yeah.
And he texted in our group chat, you know, what the frick? The quarterback, Sam Darnold, going off, blah, 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 whatever. He's texting about this game the whole time in this group chat that we're in. And I'm like, bro, like 90% of our starters did not play at all. I'm like,
he didn't
you
know,
guys,
did he?
No, he doesn't know. He doesn't know who his starters are. Are you kidding me? But the whole time I'm like, this is how this game should be going.
Yeah.
It just sucks for us. And that's what I think sucked the most is the fact that I think that Dwayne Haskins, and I meant to say this earlier, but I forgot. I think Dwayne Haskins even had more of a chip on his shoulder because he felt that he had to overcompensate for the fact that basically no starters were playing. I don't know. I think he just got way too much in his head with this game. I think if you put him in there for a full game, preseason or regular season, with starters all around, I think we see a completely different Dwayne Haskins.
I feel like, personally, that was, for him anyway, overblown a little bit, just because he still had the starting center, left guard, left tackle. He still had 2 of the top 4 wide receivers. Ebron and Freiermuth actually ended up coming into the game on the third drive because of the fact that they were struggling so much. And just because Najee Harris wasn't playing, I mean, technically Benny Snell was the starter before Najee got drafted.
True.
So you had some higher end guys playing. I mean, there's some obvious drop-offs in some of the other players. Not having Juju out there, not having Deontay definitely doesn't help you any.
Yeah.
But Chase and James Washington started the game.
True.
So he still had some pretty good talent out there. And I think, honestly, it was a little more of Carolina just doesn't respect him because they beat up on him when he was playing for Washington. And they didn't think he was going to push the ball down the field, so they just kept everybody close. Kind of like what was happening to Ben Roethlisberger late in the regular season last year. You can't run the ball. You can't pass the ball because everybody's just playing nine in the box.
Yeah.
No safeties deep. And they're doing it because they don't think you'll throw the ball more than 5 yards down the field. So if you don't stretch that ball down the field, they don't have to respect your running game or your passing game. And that makes it really difficult to move the ball.
Very true. Very, very true.
Good play from Kevin Dotson in the game.
Good, very good play from Kevin Dotson.
Looks every bit as good as what David DeCastro did. I'm just going to throw it out there. I know this is left guard versus right guard, but whatever. Dotson is pretty damn good, man. And Kendrick Green is stepping in the right direction. Didn't see him get walked back like he did in some of those first preseason games. So step in the right direction there.
100%.
And I'm really excited to see Green in running back screen plays in the future. Yeah. His athleticism and ability to get down the field, him and Dotson on the move is going to be kind of scary, man.
It's going to, again, this is the nasty that we've talked about, and we're excited to freaking finally see it. So
yeah,
super excited for the entire offensive line. You know, Dan Moore Jr. had a little bit of a setback this game, didn't play quite as well as he did the other games, but I still think that he's going to be easily one of the guys that when you go back and they redraft this draft, he'll be a first or second round pick. Easy.
The potential's there.
Easy.
It's very much so there.
So yeah. I'm excited to see what the offensive line can do. Again, basically completely new and revamped offensive line this year, minus the fact that you have, you know, guys like Chuk and Banner. Granted, Banner was injured all of last year.
Yeah.
And then you got, you know, the rookie from last year, Dotson, and then you got Green and Moore. It's a very young group, at least in those three guys for sure.
Yeah, and the oldest guy is Trey Turner, and he's only like 28.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what this offensive line can do.
It's a young group, man. It's a young, athletic, strong group.
Strong is the key word.
Yeah. James Strong. Left side.
Strong side.
That's right.
All right.
Defensive line, man.
Defensive line.
Mr. Isaiah Loudermilk
was an absolute tank, man.
Yeah, he was all over, man. Lots of pressure against the run, against the pass. Good pursuit against the quarterbacks. Got two of the quarterback on one play.
Yeah, got a sack. Four total tackles.
Two solos, two assists.
Two assists, two solos, four total. That's he could have had two sacks.
Yeah.
He got close on the one.
Yeah, a guy ran out of bounds running away from him.
Yep.
Don't blame him.
I don't either. It's a monster. Big dude.
Yeah, it's a big boy. I love the potential with this kid, man. This might really end up being a steal out of this draft.
It really could.
I don't know.
Loudermilk has just played very, very well.
We haven't had a defensive lineman, a late, like, fifth, sixth, seventh round guy that has splashed like this in a long time.
Long, long time.
Like a long beard time.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Kiesel. But you want to know who else impressed me this game?
Yes, I do.
Isaiah Buggs.
Yes.
Monster.
Run stuffer extraordinaire.
Which is what he needs to be.
Yeah, especially with the aging Tyson Alualu in front of him. You're looking at him 33, 34 years old at this point in his career. On a one-year deal, how many more years is he going to continue wanting to play? Well, if Buggs shows that he can be that good against the run, against the starting offensive line unit,
he has a job here.
Yeah.
A long-term job here.
Yeah, man, let's keep him around. And now you got a young guy that maybe you can play for a while. We don't need Isaiah Buggs to rush the passer.
No, not at all.
We got plenty of guys that are good at that.
You go into that nickel base formation, he's not even in there.
No, we just need a good nose.
Yep. on those two tight end sets.
That's it. The goal line.
That's it.
The third and one.
It's the easiest job in the world, minus long snapper, but Cameron Kennedy even lost that. More on that later.
Ooh-wee. Shots fired.
Bang, bang. Other defensive linemen.
Henry Mondo on special teams again showing up.
He got juked a little bit.
Well, yeah, but he's so much bigger. He's like 100 pounds heavier than the return guy.
No, he doesn't have cankles.
Stop it.
The dude doesn't listen.
A 280 you talk about
putting dude on skates. I don't think his legs would fit in skates, but that's beside the point.
He's a big athletic dude who is never going to have the agility of a 180-pound man, but it's very impressive how he gets down the field and makes plays on kick coverage and punt coverage.
Listen, you want to talk about using dynamic people in dynamic situations?
Yes.
I think Marcus Allen needs to be the new kicker. Did you see what Justin Reed did?
Yeah, but did you see what Marcus Allen did to his hamstring?
That's true. I'm just trying to think outside the box here. I'm thinking
there's got
to
be somebody can kick, right?
Got to be somebody. Juju, right? No, I wouldn't want him tackling, though.
You know who it is.
It's not Mondo.
Yes, it is. Mondo can kick, I'm telling you.
We hope to see it in the near future. James is calling it now. Henry Mondo for kicker of the year. Boswell can back.
No, it'll be vice president. We need a new VP now.
That's fair. That's fair. We do need a new VP. It's not going to be PH3?
It's going to be PH3.
Fair enough.
For sure.
Fair enough. That's going to do it for basically D-line. There's not much else to talk about. Outside linebackers first.
Yeah.
Jahmyr Jones.
Jahmyr Jones, best game of all the outside linebackers. No Alex Highsmith in the game. No Melvin Ingram in the game. Obviously, no TJ Watt, as he hasn't played all preseason long due to a contract negotiation concern issue, whatever you want to call that nonsense.
Yeah.
But Jahmyr Jones has represented himself very well this preseason.
Very well.
What, 2.5 sacks, I think, on the entire preseason? And led the entire NFL in preseason special teams tackles. Which, if you're going to make the Steelers roster and you're going to be a backup outside linebacker, you need to excel on special teams.
Oh, you mean like Anthony Ciccolo did?
Exactly like Anthony Ciccolo, except I think Jahmyr Jones is a better pass rusher.
Yeah. Noticeably better pass rusher.
I mean, by the end, Anthony Ciccolo started showing up in preseason games as a little bit more dominant with his experience.
Yeah.
But Jahmyr Jones already kind of making a splash against starting offensive tackles.
Yeah.
So that's impressive for him.
And that's good for depth. Like, we talk about special teams, yes, but if you know, TJ Watt or Alex Highsmith goes down, you need someone to fill in that still applies a little bit of pressure. Even if it's not a lot, you need something.
And it's a rookie, too, an undrafted rookie. You're talking about a guy who could stick around for a few years. Melvin Ingram's on a one-year deal, so who's the next number three outside linebacker? Maybe Jahmyr Jones is the guy.
That's the guy.
Some nice splash for him, man. So exciting to see there. Middle linebackers, we did not see Devin Bush or Joe Schobert, which is no surprise. Don't want to risk them in that last preseason game. Robert Spillane, another very up and down game. Unfortunately, got picked on in the passing game quite a bit.
Yeah, put in bad situations.
Yeah, he keeps on getting asked to cover wide receivers. Man, that's just not fair. It's never going to go well for a middle linebacker. Maybe if he had a few more matchups one-on-one with tight ends, it might look favorable. But at this point, it's a little bit concerning that Pittsburgh never adjusted to the linebackers on wide receivers issue in the preseason. Hopefully, they just were waiting to show it in the regular season.
Hopefully.
Because it's not going to go well for Devin Bush and Joe Schobert covering wide receivers either. I'll tell you that right now.
No, not at all. Yeah. Even though they'd be better, still not good.
Yeah.
Moving on to cornerbacks.
Marcus Allen. We didn't talk him yet.
Well, true. Marcus Allen.
Buddy Johnson. We got to talk these guys, man. They played.
I know. Here's the thing. Marcus Allen had two tackles.
Yep.
That was about it.
And he tweaked a hammy in the game, which is bad news for him.
Bad news Bears.
Yeah.
Buddy Johnson did have four tackles in the game.
Yeah, Buddy played good, I thought, man. I don't know. Buddy hasn't had a lot of opportunity with starters or even second units. He's always playing at the end of games. But I thought he had some nice hits in this game. So I thought he showed some signs of promise. And UG3 played at the end of the game as well. Also had a couple tackles.
Yeah, six total, though. But I think one or two of those came on special teams.
Probably.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. So, that finishes middle linebackers. On to corners. I'm just going to go secondary as a whole for a second. the most upsetting stat on this game is zero passes defended. Zero.
Yeah, that's for not the great, team, man. But when you think about it, too, though, you're starting safeties in a base set. Your starting safeties were Trey Norwood and Miles Killebrew. Killebrew has been like linebacker safety hybrid in his pro career thus far. And Norwood is a seventh round pick who was more corner in college than he was safety. And in this game actually played a ton of nickel corner.
Yeah.
Which again, I think they were just trying to experiment to see who's going to be the best nickel corner on the team. Cause nobody's really jumped out at him yet, which is not great. But you just kind of had to see what was going on there. I thought it was interesting that Donovan Steiner was the first safety in. So when they were nickel defense, Steiner was the other safety opposite Killebrew, and Norwood moved to slot corner at that point.
Yep. Yeah, very interesting to see how different players were moving around the field in different formations. That's something we've talked about in the past, even with the starters. But very interesting to see, you know, where Pittsburgh felt like playing different people and all that other stuff.
James Pierre against the run was very impressive in my book.
I agree.
Played very physical, very reliable tackler, it seems. And I thought he showed very well with his physicality. So looking forward to seeing James Pierre in an expanded role this upcoming season, as it appears he will start in the nickel defense as an outside corner with Cam Sutton playing that inside role there.
Very, very interesting indeed. Now time for special teams.
You return guys first?
Let's get the bad news out of the way.
Yeah.
Return guys first. Matthew Sexton.
Poor guy, man. He was into this game. He had a chance of breaking into the 53-man roster, and then he muffs two punts. Two of them.
Two. Dos. That is not one.
You might have been able to make up for it if you did one.
Yeah.
You know, you could have returned another one later, had a big return, and then we forget all about it.
And the one that he did, there was a penalty on us anyways, which would have kept the – whatever. Yeah, really sucked to see that. We were both pulling for Matthew Sexton.
He was probably the most athletic of all the backup wide receivers. Definitely the fastest of them. And just, you know, a guy with some promise as a return man. So maybe he'll get another chance. Maybe he'll be on the practice squad. But I feel like he ruined his opportunity with those muffs, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Boswell made a field goal.
That was good.
Missed an extra point.
That's not good.
Not good.
That's Boz's thing, though, man. He's one of the most accurate field goal kickers in the entire league. But for some reason, extra points, he just once in a while shanks one. And you know what? I don't hold it against him because in the last 2 years, he only missed one field goal combined. So,
which is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, missing a couple extra points, whatever, when you're making
I think Justin Tucker's missed goal. More than that the past 2 years.
He did. Absolutely, he did, yeah.
And that's also impressive.
Yeah.
That's going to...
Punter's good battle.
Punter's good battle.
Yeah, neither one of them really outshined the other. Both of them played well in the game, I thought. Yeah. And then long snapper Christian Kuntz played the entire game. Cameron Kennedy was out with an injury, and Kuntz represented himself well. His snaps were precise and made some tackles on special teams, which you're not used to seeing from your long snapper on punt coverage units.
Nope, not at all.
Especially since you don't get to play on kick coverage, so it's just punt coverage. And he made the most of it, man, and made some plays. So really, really strengthened his case. I know on Steelers Depot they made a big point of talking about how it was odd that two long snappers were kept up until that final cut down for the final game. And they were absolutely right. There was a reason for it. Christian Kuntz absolutely shined in that last game.
Yep, 100%. So that's going to do it for game recap. Now we are going to move on to the newest news, which is the 53-man roster. And excuse me, actually, let's not do that yet. Let's talk about this Minkah Fitzpatrick, Chase Claypool deal.
Yeah.
Again, you heard the live commentary at the beginning of the show.
That's clearly from the practice.
Clearly.
They had
a very good camera. great audio on that camera.
The problem is that it wasn't open to the public, so anybody that saw it isn't allowed to say what they saw.
Yeah, what actually happened.
The only thing we have, I think, is a quote from Kevin Dotson admitting that there was an altercation between Chase Claypool and Minkah Fitzpatrick. It sounds as though it was bench clearing from both sides. And nobody will say anything as far as any punches were thrown or anything.
And that's a total Mike Tomlin thing. But that's 100% the only reason. Because Mike Tomlin didn't even comment on it.
Yeah, yeah. You know Mike Tomlin told him, hey, if you guys say anything about this, I'm going to fine you. So, yeah, we're probably never going to learn details of what happened, but I
until
don't think,
one of them retires and talks.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think it was just a little pushing and shoving. I think some tempers flared a little bit on this one,
which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No, and realistically, we're looking for the wide receivers to be more physical blocking in the run game. I wouldn't be surprised if Chase Claypool was blocking kind of after the whistle, and Minka took exception to it. I would not be surprised. But honestly, that's kind of one of the things we're going to be looking for from these wide receivers. Because if they stop blocking too early on a play, the running back or the wide receiver or whoever gets tackled by the guy they're blocking. So they need to finish their blocks until the whistle every play.
100%. 100%.
And when you're that big of a wide receiver, bury him.
You're not wrong.
Don't do it in practice. Don't bury Minka. True. But you're 6'4", 240 pounds, man. Like,
you better be putting someone on their
back. Yeah, go bury some DBs. You're bigger than damn near all of them.
And even if you, I mean, here's the thing. Do a crackback block on somebody. Go get the safety and let one of those tight ends come out and flatten the corner. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's a run outside, if it's a sweep, whatever. But that's what happened. That's all we know from the fight in practice.
Also from Monday's practice, we learned that Zach Banner did not practice, which pushed Dan Moore to the left tackle with the starting offense, and Chukwuma Okorafor to the right tackle, which is odd. But I guess Dan Moore is more comfortable at left tackle. Chuk's comfortable at right tackle. So if it were to come to a situation where Zach Banner was not able to go week one for some reason, maybe there was a setback, we certainly hope not. But if there was, I think that's the way you'd see the starting offensive line go. Dan Moore starting at left tackle, Chukes at right tackle.
Yeah.
That's where everybody's most comfortable.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
and more than okay with that.
Yeah, Dan Moore looked really good at left tackle in those first two preseason games. And in the third preseason game, I thought he looked decent at right tackle. Fourth game, a lot tougher. You know, the footwork, the hand placement on where you're landing your punch to make sure you're not beat, all that stuff is just different. Ramon Foster talked about it being like being right-handed your entire life and then trying to figure out how to write with your left hand.
Yeah.
So everything's
Which I've been there.
Different.
I've done that.
Yeah.
When I broke my right wrist, I had to write with my left hand, and it was not pretty. So I get it. I understand. Yeah. It was a good reference.
It's tough. So we get it. But after that, today was the actual cutdowns. We had a few leaks beforehand, man.
We did.
Yeah, there was the original nine that we heard about, which was Marcus Baugh, the tight end. Running back Tony Brooks-James, who fumbled away his opportunity. Cornerback Shakur Brown, who looked good on special teams but not as a cornerback, which is an issue. Defensive tackle TJ Carter, who didn't play in the first three preseason games but played a lot in the fourth preseason game. As a backup nose tackle, basically. Cornerback Lafayette Pitts, he looked lost on one play in that last game. Offensive guard Malcolm Pridgen, who was only on the team the last couple weeks. Matthew Sexton also.
Fumbled away his opportunity. Yeah, muffed away, whatever.
Yeah, muffed it away. Anthony Johnson, the other wide receiver. And then safety Lamont Wade, who did flash at times in the preseason. But realistically, a little undersized for
undersized, safety. Lacked consistency, all the things.
Yeah.
The waived or released players today go as followed. Wide receiver Rico Bussey.
No.
Sad day. Outside linebacker Jamar Watson.
Didn't really play all preseason.
Not at all. Wide receiver Cody White, which I know that James was pushing for. James had him on his 53-man roster.
Did not. But
was he the first one on?
Yeah, he would have been like one of my first practice squad guys.
Yeah, which hopefully, I mean, he's a good blocker.
I think, honestly, I'll be surprised if he's not on the practice squad.
Unless he gets stolen.
Yeah, I don't think he will, though. He didn't splash enough.
Fair enough. Running backs, both Trey Edmonds and Jalen Samuels.
Yay! Whoop, whoop!
We're celebrating that one. Outside linebacker, offensive lineman, Rashad Coward, John LeGlue, Chaz Green, and BJ Finney.
Yeah, the Finney one really surprised us. We both had him on our 53-man rosters. And honestly, with those names you just heard all being released, yes, that does mean the only backup interior offensive lineman is J.C. Hassenauer. So I will not be surprised if Pittsburgh picks somebody up in the next couple of days here that was a cut from another team for more interior offensive line depth there.
Yeah, tight end Kevin Rader is also gone. Outside linebacker Cassius Marsh, outside linebacker Quincy Roche,
yeah,
who happened to be the only draft pick from this past season or past draft that was let go. Mark Gilbert, who we both talked about a little bit, we thought had some upside.
Yeah.
Arthur Mollett as well at the cornerback position. Safety, Donovan Steiner. And then punter, Jordan Berry, which means PH3 won that job. And Cameron Canaday, the long snapper, which also means the starting job there was won.
Christian Kuntz. That's right.
So those are the final cutdowns. So again, we're going to go through position real quick. Your quarterbacks for your 53-man roster. Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins.
We both nailed that.
We did.
Yep.
Running backs.
Najee Harris, Anthony McFarland Jr., Benny Snell, and Kalen Ballage.
Kalen Ballage pick. I like it.
Hey, Kalen played well this preseason. He earned that job.
He ran hard.
And he played well on special teams, too. So this is a guy with the athleticism that's going to show us some stuff on that return unit and on the coverage unit. So that's important. Derek Watt, you're starting fullback. No surprise there.
No surprise.
Didn't have anyone competing with him for the position other than Trey Edmonds, who is not a fullback.
Yep, and he's also probably not going to play much because that's just what Pittsburgh does.
Yeah.
wide receiver, they only kept five.
Oh, I nailed it.
You did. Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, James Washington, and Ray-Ray McCloud.
Yep. Unfortunately, just none of the other wide receivers shined enough.
That's fair.
We were waiting for somebody to really pop and force a sixth man to be on the team. Didn't happen. Tight ends, Eric Ebron, Pat Freiermuth, and Zach Gentry, who's improved blocking, won himself the job.
It did, 100%. Offensive linemen, you got Chukwuma Okorafor, Zach Banner, Dan Moore Jr., Kevin Dotson, Kendrick Green, Trey Turner, Joe Haig, and J.C. Hassenhauer. That is the entire offensive line. That's it.
Yep, that's eight of them. Count them, eight, which is peculiar. We both expect there to be an interior offensive lineman brought in. And I say that also just because there's some rules that are still in place from last season, where if you have eight offensive linemen dressed for the game, then you only have to have five inactives instead of seven inactives. So it's kind of important that you have nine on the team, so if somebody's banged up, you can still dress eight.
Yep.
And it's just, honestly, J.C. Hassenhauer as a guard's kind of scary.
Very scary.
So I think maybe they're looking at Joe Haig, some position flexibility there, playing interior as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully. It's scary otherwise.
We'll
see. Defensive line, more than they've ever kept before. We both missed that. Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Chris Wormley, Tyson Alualu were the locks, right? Well, they also kept Isaiah Bugs, Carlos Davis, Isaiah Loudermilk, and Henry Mondo for a total of eight of them, which is incredible, man.
James just thinks Mondo is going to play offensive line, but that's
beside
the point.
He's playing everything. He's going to play tight end, fullback, kickoff specialist.
Whatever.
He's doing it all this year. You know he's on the field goal unit.
Yeah.
He plays as one of the tight ends on the field goal unit.
Oh, I know.
I love it.
Your linebacking core, TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Devin Bush, Joe Schobert, those were the locks for sure. Then you had Melvin Ingram, Jameer Jones, Robert Spillane, Buddy Johnson, Marcus Allen, and UG3. And in case you weren't counting, that is six interior linemen, linebackers.
Which is nuts. They never keep more than five. Sometimes they only keep four. So this
Marcus Allen is
wonder.
Not playing D-line or O-line, just so we know.
Yeah, well, and also with him having that hamstring injury, in order to get on the injured reserve and be able to come off of it the same season, you have to be on the initial 53-man roster. So there is speculation out there the reason that Marcus Allen is on this 53 and also the reason that they kept six guys is because he's going to be placed on the injured reserve within the next few days here.
Realistically, they could go ahead and get through this 53-man roster thing, put Marcus Allen on IR, and re-sign BJ Finney or whoever.
Or Rashad Coward or whoever they want to do.
Yep.
Yeah, so I would not be surprised if some of these guys just turn around in a couple of days and re-sign with the team.
The biggest surprise, I think.
Yeah, cornerback position. So only four guys. Joe Hayden. Yeah, Joe Hayden, Cam Sutton, James Pierre, and Justin Lane. None of those names are surprises, but the fact that there's only four of them is a surprise. And it also...
It's a concerning surprise.
When you look at those four names, Cam Sutton's really the only slot corner out of those guys, too, which makes you wonder, because usually if you play a dime defense, you have two slot-type guys on there. Must mean they're looking at some of these safeties on their versatility able to do that, and some of the middle linebackers as well able to cover in the slot.
Must be. Moving on to safeties, we have Minkah Fitzpatrick, Terrell Edmonds, no surprise there, Miles Killebrew, and Trey Norwood being the backups for their respective strong and free safety positions.
So there's your backup slot, Trey Norwood.
Yeah.
And apparently when they drafted him and they called him the Swiss Army Knife, that's the plan.
They meant it.
Use him as a Swiss Army Knife. Again, this is another position here with corner or someone that's got corner and safety versatility that I would not be surprised if someone is brought in that area of the team. Also, with this many defensive linemen, maybe there's one of these young guys that they're going to try to deal.
Maybe.
You never know. Trade for a 7th-round pick or 6th-round pick, something like that. I don't think for a second it'll be Loudermilk, but I do believe that if someone offered enough for Bugs or Carlos Davis, they would definitely strongly consider trading.
Yeah. And then special teams.
Yeah.
No surprise. We already talked a little bit about it.
Yeah, Boss for President, baby. Boss
for President. PH3 at the punter position, and then Christian Kuntz at the long snapper position. And that finishes your 53-man roster.
Yeah. It's different from what we're used to, for sure.
And there's probably reasons for it.
Yeah, and in previous years, once this has happened, usually within the next 2 to 3 days, there's multiple roster moves. So look for that to happen. We'll try to keep you guys in the loop. We'll have a new episode coming for you next Monday to keep you in the loop as to what's happened, because honestly, we do expect some changes in the roster. There's rumblings that T.J. Watt and the Steelers are not agreeing to a contract. I haven't seen it from a reputable source yet, so I would not put too much stock in that. And honestly, the door on that is not closed until kickoff on the 12th at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
That's when you got to be worried about it.
So next week will be the last episode you guys hear before we start talking about Steelers regular season football again.
That's it, man. It's coming.
It's coming quick. All right. Again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. If you have questions, reach out to us on any of those social media outlets or email us at steelersbythelake@gmail.com. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.